If you have a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 12. Good singing, good music. Amen. Exodus chapter 12. If you're familiar with the stories in the Bible, this is about the nation of Israel being released out of Egyptian bondage. And remember, there was a new king that arose that knew not Joseph. We can't go into the whole story, but they brought the nation in bondage, and they were cruel taskmasters to the children of Israel. God sent them a deliverer. His name was Moses. In chapter 5 of Exodus, Moses comes before Pharaoh and tells him what God said, to let his people go. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And then you have the record of the 10 plagues that God sent on the nation of Israel so that his people could be free to go and worship him. In chapter 12, we'll read a couple verses in the beginning. And this is the chapter about the Passover, where they were told, the nation of Israel was told to take a lamb and to slay its blood and to put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the door. And when the death angel would pass by, it says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." But prior to that 10th plague, we're going to read a couple verses, and I think that's appropriate for the new year. In verse 1 of Exodus chapter 12, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." No longer is it the Egyptian calendar or the Babylonian calendar. It's God's calendar. Amen. And he's going to start the year with this deliverance out of the land of Egypt. I think it's appropriate. And we'll see the scripture, how that it all goes together. It's a blessing. The Bible's a blessing. Amen. Now let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for these stories that are written for our learning, for our admonition, and how they apply to our salvation, our victory in Christ, all of the blessings of our life. We praise you for that today. And Lord, we're looking at another new year, and the years fly by quickly. Sometimes we look back and we get discouraged, or even look forward and get discouraged. And I pray we might have faith and trust in you for all that you bring our way. Thank you for the privilege we have to serve you. Bless your word today. Meet the need of every heart. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. New Year's. It's a new year. It's the beginning of months. And I have liberty today to make a resolution, and that is that I plan to eat more chocolate this year. And you know, if you look in the medical field, they tell you that more chocolate is not good for you. That's so foolish, you know. And I go by Granny Brick. She lived in her 90s, and I say, "Granny, what's the secret of long life?" And she said, "Black coffee and chocolate." And I've been trying to live that. Amen. And so. So I have the liberty to do that. But when you think about all of the different resolutions that people make, I don't know if you still do that, but a lot of people do. One is, I'm going to borrow enough money to pay off all my debts. That's a good one. Usually it's diet, right? Come on. Usually it's diet. We say, no, in the new year, we're going to start eating better. And sometimes it's getting rid of junk food. I got a whole list here. Minimizing junk food. Exercise, boy, that's a big one. Amen? And so we're going to promise to do that. But on the spiritual side, how about these? Stop gossiping. That'd be a good one. Amen? Okay. Reading the Bible through. Letting go of grudges. Winning souls to Christ. All those would be good too. To promise to do something in the coming year. It's a resolution is a promise to do something diligently in the new year. And think of how that would benefit the Lord if we made a spiritual promise to God. Even the church. The church would be so blessed if we made those promises. Remember when John F. Kennedy was being sworn in as president? My great-grandfather told me about this. But he's being sworn in as president. One thing in his speech was, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And boy, that was a wise statement. And that would be the same thing for the Lord and for the church. Amen. There's so much we could do here. We have such a great opportunity to give the gospel out. Matthew Henry wrote about our text. He said, "The Lord makes all things new to those whom he delivers from the bondage of Satan and takes to himself to be his people. The time when he does this is to them the beginning of a new life." There are two portions of scripture in the Bible that say in the beginning. One is in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God moved, and the Bible says, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. All God had to do was say. The book of Hebrews says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So when God spoke, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The other portion is in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And God spoke there too. And the Bible says his life was the light of men. And so you have the light coming in the beginning. You have the light coming again. Jesus said in John chapter 9, "I am the light of the world." And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we are the light of the world. Amen? And we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And it's all about the Word of God and having an effect on us. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen? It transforms us, and it lets that light shine brightly, that light that is in us. Other people see it. It's good to have a steeple on a church. Amen? I like that. And it used to be people would look for that light and they'd see that over the hills and the trees, and that they knew where the church was. It was a testimony. But certainly there ought to be light in here. Amen. And light as we go out into the world. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, for the Christian, the Bible says, "For ye were sometimes darkness," sometimes in the past, "but now are ye light in the Lord." And then here's the instruction: walk as children of light. When is your birthday? Anybody tell me when your birthday is? January 8th? Wow, you're coming right up, aren't you, brother? Boy, January 8th. Anybody else? You want to? September 12th. And you don't have to give the year, amen? Just the day, September 12th. Anybody else? You're welcome. February what? 4th, February 4th. There was a day when you were born and you came into this world, and you, that was flesh. Amen. That was something that God ordained. And so you were born, and that's when your life began in this world. Well, when was your spiritual birthday? Anybody know when your spiritual birthday was? June 57. 19th? June 19th? Is that what? Oh, okay. Yes. August 20, 1972. And we have a spiritual birthday too. And Jesus addressed this with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 tells us that Nicodemus was a very godly man, a very spiritual man, a very man that kept the law, but he didn't understand this. Jesus said, "You must be born again." And he said, "How can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into the womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit." Born of flesh, your physical birthday. Born of spirit, our spiritual birthday. Amen? And he said, "Without being born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God." So ye must be born again. I think that's so key. How does that happen? John 1:12, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." So we receive Christ as our Savior. We become a child of God. We are born again. That is a blessing. And then that light is there. Amen? That light is in there. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is the light of the world. He's in us. That light shines and people see that. And that's the admonition. 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You're not born, and you're not well, I've always been a Christian. No, you have to be born again. There is a day of salvation when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So there's something new that takes place. God changed the calendar for the nation of Israel in Exodus chapter 12. That will be significant when we get to the end of the message today, about 2:30, 3 o'clock. Amen. Good to have all the employees of Philatics Market here today, but I hope you can stay till 2:30. Amen. Okay, moving right along. The failure rate for New Year's Eve resolutions, I looked on the internet, so this has to be right, right? So U.S. News and World Report says it's estimated 80% the failure rate of a New Year's resolution. And people lose their resolve and motivation just weeks later in mid-February, according to U.S. News and World Report. Some don't last a day. Some don't even make it a day. But we're to walk as children of light. It's a good thing to do. It's a good commitment to make. In Proverbs 24:16, a just man falleth seven times but riseth up again. Now follow the scriptures here. Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. In the book of Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are saved. We become Christians because of his mercy, not because of our goodness. It's because of his goodness. We are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, the Bible goes on and says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we're all sinners, amen? But God in his mercy and in his grace and sending Jesus to die in our place, we are free from the penalty of our sin because Christ paid that for us. In Luke chapter 18, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, man who did everything right and knew it. And the other a publican, he was doing everything wrong and knew it. And they both come into the temple to pray. And the Pharisee says, I thank you, God, that I'm not like this man. I tithe, I fast, I do this, I do that. And then the other guy said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He would not even so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. And Jesus says, that man, the sinner, all he had to do was say, have mercy on me. The sinner went home justified. The guy that's bragging and comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. If you look around in the church and say, man, I'd never do that, or look how much better I am. We're all sinners, amen? And we all need a Savior. And that's a blessing that God has given us as Savior. Peter was speaking with the Lord, Luke chapter 17, and he was saying, how many times do I need to forgive somebody? And the Lord said, if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, and saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. In Matthew, the same context, Jesus went a little bit further, and he said, not just seven times, but 70 times seven. You ever find yourself asking for forgiveness about the same thing over and over? No? Okay, I think we do. I remember when I got saved. I got saved in 1973. And I'm not proud of my past, but I just want to make a point. When I got saved, I quit drinking. When I got saved, I quit doing dope. And that was a very lucrative thing for me to do dope and sell it. But I quit that right away. But it was those crazy cigarettes that got me. And I tried to quit smoking. I finally got the victory last month. But all those years, and I knew it was wrong. You say, well, what's wrong with smoking? You can smoke. I mean, what did I say the other day? It won't send you to hell. It'll just make you smell like you've been there, you know? But it does take your health, doesn't it? And it takes your health away. Well, overeating takes your health away, and oversleeping takes your health. So I'm not being critical there. But what I'm saying is that had a hold of me. That sin to me had a hold on me. And I would quit. I'd throw a pack away. I'd go buy another pack and smoke one and then throw that pack away. I mean, it was very, very hard. And there's things down through the years I have asked the Lord to help me with. He is so kind to me. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. Is He not that with you? You know, maybe you have a negative way of thinking, or maybe this, or who knows what it is. But we constantly come back to the Lord. And it's a throne of grace, and it's a mercy seat. And we can come anytime and be forgiven. And His mercies are new every morning. That's Lamentations chapter 3. That is a blessing. Amen? When God does that for us. Some people are too self-righteous. And so Jesus puts the story in the Bible about the mote and the beam. And you got to get the beam out of your own eye before you get the mote out of somebody else's eye. There's other stories. He said, if you were blind, you could see. But since you say you can see, then you're going to stay blind. And there's deep meaning in all of those things. But I like, God be merciful to me, a sinner. A New Year's commitment to the Lord, Webster says, it's the act of pledging or engaging. It's, I'm going to make a pledge. The Bible is full of verses like this. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him. Commit your way to the Lord. That's an important thing. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are renewing our mind. Our mind goes the wrong way, evil thoughts, evil things about people, and God brings it back through His Word. I think that's such an important thing. Whatsoever things are pure, true, lovely, good report, think on these things. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we cast down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We cast it down. That's how we fight the devil. Amen? Because he wants you to think a certain way. Evil thinking. Oh man, it's a terrible thing to think something about somebody, and it just creates all kinds of problems in your heart and in your mind. To reestablish, to renew, to rebuild, to repair, to restore, to revive. The thing about revival is you can't be revived unless you've been vived. Vive means alive, you know. So if you've been saved and you wander a little ways from God, or you get cold or indifferent or whatever, you can be revived. But if you've never been saved, you need to get saved, and then you have God's help in all of this. 2 Chronicles 15:8, Asa renewed the altar of the Lord. 1 Samuel 4:11-14. Samuel renewed the kingdom. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's being built again. That's being refreshed, restored. Amen? And we need that. We all need that all the time. We shouldn't go a day without spending time with the Lord. And we shouldn't go an hour without spending time with the Lord. Remember the story of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah went back, the background of the story, Esther, Nehemiah, those are the books in the Bible in their order. In Esther, they're coming back, the nation of Israel, out of Babylonian captivity, and they're rebuilding the temple. That's about that. When you get to the book of Nehemiah, they're coming back into the city of Jerusalem, and they're rebuilding the walls. And Nehemiah is involved in that. And one thing Nehemiah said when he got there and saw everything that was going on, he said, we have to remove the rubbish before we can rebuild. Because the walls were broken down, and they could not build on top of that. And that's a good Bible principle, amen? There's things Jeremiah was told to tear down before you build and you plant. And so there's some things we get out of our life that we can build profitably for the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And however God speaks to you about that, it's good that He's speaking to you. But Nehemiah did that. Jacob, when he went away, and he was a deceiver and a supplanter and just a mess, and he went away and God worked with him. And so he's coming back to Bethel, house of God. And it's the name of the city, Bethel. And so he's coming back, but now something has changed. It's not just Bethel, the house of God. It's El Bethel. It's the God of the house of God. We're all in the house of God today. We're all in church. But we want to meet with the God of the house of God. Amen? And I'll stumble through the message and I might say something that's profitable or what you think is unprofitable. But let God take the word, because he told Timothy, preach the word. Amen? And so as the word goes out, I don't trust all of my illustrations and whatever, but I do trust the Bible. That's why I use so much of the Bible, because you can't argue with the Bible. Amen? And we're all sinners and we all need a Savior. And even after we're saved, we still sin. And so we benefit from having a mercy seat to go to, where we can be right with God over and over and over again. Such a blessing. The church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, that was a good church. They were doctrinally correct. They were busy in the work. But God said to them, I have somewhat against thee. And what was it? They left their first love. They left their first love. Do you remember when you got saved? If nothing happened when you got saved or said you got saved, then nothing happened. Amen. But when you got saved, remember the day, remember the hour, remember the minute, how that affected you. Amen. How you fell in love with the mercy of God and you thanked him because you were undeserving. But that's what grace is and mercy. It's undeserved help and blessing. And God gave that to us. So anyway, here's this church. And they left their first love. And God said, repent and do your first works. Go back. Boy, if we all went back to our new convert Christianity, remember? You were telling everybody about the Lord. Amen? Amen. 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 Galatians chapter 3. Paul had started the church in the town of Galatia, and he won these people to Christ, and their church was doing well. But Paul heard something, and he wrote a letter back to them. And he said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the works of the flesh? I think that's verse 3 of chapter 3. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the works of the flesh? Paul said, you used to say you would pluck out your eyes and give them to me, because he had a disease in his eyes. You did this, but now am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Some false doctrine got in, and now you're trying to take the glory away from the Lord. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus did for you. Amen? It's about his grace and mercy. And that connection, that love, causes us to serve him and love him. It's not a selfish thing. Proverbs and Psalms both say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Reverence. Reverence for God. That's the beginning of wisdom. I think in James chapter 3 it says, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. And so it's a wonder, it's a peace of God, and that's wisdom from above. We have in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, I'll get into the message in a minute, but again, I got till 2:30, amen? Don't lose your spirit, don't look at me like that. Romans 6, 4, walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. Do you remember when you got saved and you'd go to church and you'd go, wow, boy, I think we ought to start doing this. I think we better stop doing this because we want to live to please the Lord. Amen? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. All the verses about that. So he says, walk in newness of life. And you say, well, I've departed from that a little bit. There's good news. Amen? You can get right anytime. Anytime. And we all do that. Walk in newness of life. Romans 7, 6, we should serve in newness of spirit. I think we all know the story in the book of Acts about John Mark. And John Mark was related to Barnabas. Barnabas was a good man, according to Acts chapter 11. He was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit. Much people were added to the church. But in the early part of the book of Acts, it defines Barnabas' name as the son of consolation. And he was a good man. And here is a relative of his, I think a cousin. And so John Mark goes with Paul and Barnabas on a not a missions trip, but just a time that they're going out to help. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 25, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." So they're going out to serve the Lord. But boy, it's getting rough. You ever make a decision you're going to do something for God and then it gets worse? Then it gets harder? Then you see the reality of fighting the devil. You see the reality of being a child of light and going into a dark world where they don't even know it's dark. They don't even know they're blind. And they oppose everything that's of God. You find people out there. And such a wonderful thing salvation is, and a connection with God, and yet people don't see it and they argue against it. But that's what was happening maybe to John Mark. That's Acts 12, 25. In Acts 13, 13, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." John says, "I had enough of this. Man, this isn't what I signed up for. I thought, oh, we're going to go. Everybody's going to receive the Lord." You know, I remember when we first started our church in Sturgis. God did a great work there, but not without fighting from the devil. Amen. Anytime you make a decision to go forward for God, there's going to be opposition. And that's another sermon. Amen. But anyway, here's John Mark, and it says, "He departing from them returned to Jerusalem." We come to Acts chapter 15. If you want to turn there, you may turn there. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. They're getting ready to go out again, Paul and Barnabas. And we're going to read some verses here. In verse 36, Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them." This is the Apostle Paul. This is a great Christian, the Apostle Paul. Barnabas, he was the son of consolation. The dissension, the discord was so sharp between them. Look at this. "That they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." So Paul and Silas go one way, and Barnabas and John Mark go another way. John Mark wouldn't go to the work, so Paul thought, "Nah, we're not taking him again. We're not taking him again." But listen, Paul is in 2 Timothy. He's getting ready to give his life for the Lord. He's getting ready to go to heaven. And he says this, chapter 4, verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." I love that. There's a story there. It's not told. It's not completely told. There's a lot of supposition about why he left the work, but we can see that it was not a good reason. And here, Paul, at the end of his life, is saying, "Bring John Mark. Boy, he has grown in the Lord, and he's faithful now. He's profitable to me for the ministry." I like that. Amen? I like looking and seeing people, and they're up and down, and all they're out of church or whatever. There's always hope. There's always hope. We just keep praying. There's a story also about the prodigal son. Amen? And I won't take a lot of time on that, but he went into a far country, wasted all of his inheritance on riotous living. But he's coming back, and the father is a picture of God, and the father runs out to meet him. "Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners." Amen. And so he came back, and they had a party. Amen. Well, wouldn't somebody say, "No, he needed a good lecture. No, he needed to pay for what he just did. No, let him... If he chose a hog pen, just leave him in the hog pen." No, that's not what God did. Amen. He ran out to meet us. He sought us. As a matter of fact, there's one text in the book of Isaiah where the nation was called sought out. That was the name of the nation, sought out. I love the Lord. Don't you love the Lord? There's another story about Demas in the Bible. Philemon 1:24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Paul said Demas was a fellow laborer. Colossians 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Demas had fellowship with Luke, the beloved physician. Good man. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. As good as he was doing, as profitable as he was, the world got him. Like it got Korah. The ground opened up and it swallowed up Korah. Sometimes the world will do that to people. The lusts of other things, the cares of this world, choke the word that it becometh unfruitful. And sometimes somebody will be serving the Lord, and then where'd they go? You know? Boy, that was so promising. And the world just kind of swallows people up. Well, this could be the year that somebody gets right with the Lord. Amen? This could be the year where somebody's heart is getting cold and they recognize it and they ask for help from the Lord that they might be profitable. Lots of people start right, but not a lot of people finish right. It's easy to start. It's harder to finish. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but all those who love his appearing. In Sturgis, early on in the 80s, early 80s I think it was, there was a couple that got saved and they got baptized and they joined our church, and they were coming very faithfully, happy to be there, very profitable to the church. And all of a sudden, it wasn't, you know, just a little bit at a time. All of a sudden, they stopped going to church. They just completely stopped. And I went to visit them. Did we do anything? Was it something somebody in the church said or did? No, they just stopped coming. They were gone. My wife's here, so I've got to tell the truth, because if she's not in the service, I don't have to tell the truth. But anyway, they were gone from church for 20 years. 20 years. And we saw them one time out, and we invited them to church on an Easter Sunday. And I really didn't think they would come, but they came. After 20 years. And no, Pastor, it wasn't anything you did, nothing the church. They just got off base. And they came, and they never missed after that. It was like they were never gone. Started serving the Lord. They're still serving the Lord today. Amen. Sometimes you think, boy, that is a hopeless case. And I don't have time to talk about all the cases that I thought were hopeless that are not hopeless. But God really did something for them. In the book of Jeremiah, I want to turn there. You don't have to turn there. But in Jeremiah chapter 18, the word which came to Jeremiah the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. He made it again. He made it again. God did that. Sometimes we get on that wheel, don't we? And God's working in our lives to try and get those impurities out, that he might have a vessel. And Paul said this, 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on anybody. Amen? Sometimes you think that's never going to change. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on yourself. I prayed about that 100 times, and I just can't get the victory. Don't give up on yourself, because one day the light's going to come on. One day the help's going to be there. Amen? And you can help somebody else, and certainly you can help yourself. My ordination took place in July of 1980. And one of the songs they played was, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And by God's grace and the prayers of God's people, my wife and I have lived that. We've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Although there have been times we wanted to. Last night. I mean, there are times. You cannot imagine what a Saturday is like for a preacher or a preacher's wife. We are getting ready to go into church and give the Word of God out with a heart of God. Amen? And you can't imagine how the devil fights that. And we so appreciate your prayers. What he has on his shirt behind every great pastor is an awesome congregation. And that is the truth. That's the absolute truth. We desire and need your prayers. But all of those years, and God's kept us, and we pray. I don't take tomorrow for granted. I don't take next week for granted. I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do right now. Turn in your Bible to Revelation 21. We'll be done. Revelation 21. Don't fight each other. Don't be nasty to each other. Don't grudge one another. That kills the spirit in a church. Amen? We're all sinners. We all got chinks in our armor. Amen? We all got holes somewhere. And we just need the grace of other people so that we can be strong in the faith. Revelation 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 4. And God shall wipe away tears, wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for the words are true and faithful. And then in chapter 22, verse 3, And there shall be no more curse. Aren't you looking forward to that? No more tears, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more sin, no more curse. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. God's going to change the calendar. No, we're not going to need a calendar. Amen? Time shall be no more. Wow. That's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time for sure. No calendar. There was a fellow by the name of Jowett, J.H. Jowett, and he wrote a little devotional. It's not lengthy. I'm not going to read it all. But I want you to be ready for this. We're not having Sunday school. We got plenty of time. Amen? And that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He's a very intelligent man. He uses a lot of big words. But if you can get the meaning of this, this is so powerful. The range of our possible sufferings is determined by the largeness of the nobility of our aims. It is possible to evade a multitude of sorrows by the cultivation of an insignificant life. Indeed, if it be a man's ambition to avoid the troubles of life, the recipe is perfectly simple. Let him shed his ambitions in every direction. Let him cut the wings of every soaring purpose. And let him assiduously cultivate a little life with the fewest correspondences and relations. By this means, a whole continent of afflictions will be escaped and will remain unknown. Cultivate negations, and large tracts of the universe will cease to exist. For instance, cultivate deafness, and you are saved from the horrors of discords. Cultivate blindness, and you are saved from the assault of the ugly. Stupefy a sense and you shut out the world. And therefore it is literally true that if you want to get through the world with the smallest trouble, you must reduce to the smallest compass. That is why so many people, and even so many professedly Christian people, get through life so easily, with a minimum acquaintance with tribulation. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer tribulation. All that live godly in Christ Jesus. Bear one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. Powerful verses. Weep with them that weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That could be you. Remember the story about the Good Samaritan. All that that Good Samaritan did for that man. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. Amen. We may have a big life. We might not have any issues or problems secularly. And we're just riding the wave till it's all over. What about the spiritual battle? What about the spiritual fight? Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. So many verses. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. All of those verses. That's what we need to do in these last days. It's getting darker out there, but the darker that gets, the more we need the light. Amen. God made a new calendar. God can make a new life for you. He can give you a spiritual life if you accept Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, God wants you to walk in the light as He is in the light. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have not preached anything but the Bible today. Amen. That's the light. And as we draw to the light, in His light we'll see light, the Bible says. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you never received Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter how long you've been going to church or what you do. It matters with accepting what Jesus did for you. He died for your sins. He went to the cross, paid the penalty. He was forsaken of the Father so that we would never be forsaken. What a merciful God. He deserves our life, doesn't He? He deserves our life. Father, bless your word now. We all want to serve you. I want to serve you. The rest of my days, I want to serve you, Lord. Help me not to get ever off track. Thank you for a good wife. Thank you for her help. Thank you for good people, a good congregation, a good spirit, a good purpose, one accord, one heart, one mind. God, may it ever be so. As we go into the new year, oh, the possibilities are endless, Lord. Use us all for your glory, and may we help one another to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's